Blog Talk Radio.
Some days you're weary. Some days you're weary. And you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
Yes, you can.
You.
I am your horse. Sanctified, set apart, with a twist of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and you are listening to The Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. Here with me is the good brother Hakim Nuba. And we are excited to be here. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you today?
It's a blessing and an honor to be here, sir. Blessing and honor. But look at God. Look at God. He brought the word, brother, to the network. It is just a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with this 2018, with this new year upon us, we should expect God to move on our behalf. We should expect new blessings, new favor. Grace and mercy is ever flowing. Breakthroughs will happen. Love will go forth. Peace will come into our gates, and hope shall remain our anchor. But above all of that, Doctor, the sweet commune of the Holy Spirit will rest, rule, and abide forever. Amen. Being that this is a new show, I would like to introduce myself. Again, I am Pastor D. Townsend. I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. In a battlefield, amen. I can hear somebody say, wow, Detroit. Yes, Detroit, Michigan. Born and raised. And I still reside in Detroit, Michigan. I was raised in a church all my life. I was raised Christian Methodist Episcopal. Most people know it as CME. Mm-hmm. The CME church is a historical black church, three within the Methodist body. We have the AME, the African Methodist, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion, and the CME. And so I was born and raised CME. Being CME, I was called to preach at a young age. I ran most of my life. At the age of 24, I decided to accept my calling to preach the word. I studied under a pastor by the name of Reverend Dr. Faith A. Allen at Carter Metropolitan CME Church. And it was a blessing and an honor. By 2007, I was ordained. Well, let me tell you, Brother Kim, let me back up and let me explain it to you. Mm-hmm. In 1 week, I went from a minister on a Wednesday. I was ordained a helper to the elder on a Thursday. And on Friday, I was appointed pastor. And throughout this time, I didn't have a chance to enjoy my ordination. I was thrust right into the battlefield. This was God's will for my life, and thus I accepted this will, and I've been pastor ever since. I've pastored a few churches along the way, and right now I pastor out in Flint at a church called Dozier Memorial. Shout out to Dozier Memorial in Flint, amen, under the supervision of our presiding elder, Reverend Dr. Philip D. Washington. Amen. And so I myself, I'm a lover of people. I give my shirt off for anybody. I will give up my life for a stranger. And before I forget, I am a husband of one wife, Sister Tremaine Townsend, who is my all in all. Amen, brother. I want my pork chop sandwich tonight, you know. So I am the husband of Sister Tremaine. She is a blessing, and I don't know what I would do without her. And so, you know, I find myself being a man for the people. I believe that a shepherd, his responsibility is the sheep. I believe that a shepherd should open up his doors to the sheep, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation is. And thus, I find myself being one who loves people unconditionally. I have an easy, forgiving heart. But more importantly, I put God first. Without God, I can't do nothing. So I've learned over the past few years of my life to focus on God. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in theology from Grand Canyon University. Right now, I am in the master's program at Grand Canyon Theological Seminary, which I am studying my master's degree in biblical leadership. And so I'm looking forward to whatever God has for me after that. Amen. You may hear I am a little hoarse. I've been suffering from a flu the past couple of weeks, but God is my healer. Amen. But Brother Hakim, you know what? I feel like preaching today. I feel like the network needs a word from on high.
Mm. Yes, sir.
And so, I think I'm gonna give a word, brother. I had everything planned out, but I think I'm gonna give a little word to the people because I think that's what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, for a second, let us bow our heads in prayer. Eternal Father, it's me, your most humble servant. I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to use for scripture coming out of the gospel according to Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 30. Just two verses, 30 and 31. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And along with that, I have a subject entitled The Love Affair. There are times, Brother Kim, that you will do, as you know, show prep and have everything together, and God will direct you to go another way.
Mm-hmm.
God is calling his people into an age-long affair. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. During this time, he found that the earth needed something to keep it together. Thus, he created mankind. Over the course of mankind's history, the relationship between God and man has become downright non-existent. Preachers and teachers, and even the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God having done all of this to open up the eyes of his people to his wonderful love, the question remained throughout all the world, why should we love God? In this modern era, we, God's people, have something spectacular, something amazing, something beautiful in the form of the church. But what is the church? The church is a hospital for sinners and a spiritual empowerment for believers. The church is a beacon of light to this dead world. Matthew 18:20 says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The church is a place where one can go and not be frowned upon, but accepted as they are. The mission and the purpose of the church is to remind the people about this love affair that we are in with God. And if we truly desire to see the fullness thereof, then we must submit ourselves to this love. A says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I hear somebody saying, what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm saying that God desires to meet you where you are. There is no big sin or little sin or small sin or great sin that God cannot forgive. I need to say that again. There is no big sin or little sin, small sin or great sin that God cannot forgive. We are all ex-somethings. None of us came out the womb praising God. None of us stood up and shouted Hosanna to the highest without first learning what it meant to give God some praise. Well, I can tell you I've learned all that I know from the church. Why the church? Because the church is the place where the love affair first started. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Let me tell you, you may not look good. You may not smell good. In some cases, you may not be good, but God is knocking at your door. God is tugging at your heart. God is whispering in your ear and saying, aren't you homesick? Come back unto me. I'm here waiting. I'm here to save your life. I gave up my son for ransom. I gave up the first fruits of my love. And all I want from you is your obedience, for you to enter into this love affair with me. I don't care what the situation is. I can fix it. Just put your hands in my hands and find an obedient, God-fearing church. Yes, I am CME, born and will die CME. But God is not calling out for denominations, but God is calling out for a holy nation. Whether it's been 25 years, 40 years, 75 years, or 1,000 years, God's love affair with his people remains intact. And on this day, January 7th, 2018, a day that we have never seen and a day that we will never see again, we celebrate this love affair between man, God, and the church. Why the church? The church has become a place now of ridicule. We find that it's easy for people to talk against Christianity. It's easy for people to down Jesus. But do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know what Jesus did? Do you really know who God is? God allowed his son to come into this world, to take on a form of a man, to give up his life for a people who did not even care, a people who did not even want, a people who loved him one minute and said, crucify him the next. Jesus gave up his life so that we may have life and have life more abundantly. What does that mean to you? How does that pierce your heart? That's my question. Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you call on Jesus when you're in trouble? Or do you thank him for the good times? That's the question. You see, I've learned in this life that people will call on Jesus when they're going through stuff, and then the minute that he pulls them out, they forget his name. But I'm here to let you know that through this affair, through this love affair, God is calling us back to an authentic love. God is saying that I'm calling my people out of the darkness and into the light. I know people who sold drugs their whole life. I know people who ran in gangs their whole life. I know people who set people up for murder. I know all type of people in this world, but I'm here to let you know that there is nothing too big for God. If God is calling you home, I suggest that you go home. If God is calling you to a ministry, I suggest you accept his calling. If God is calling you to sit in a church and to support, then I suggest you sit in and support. Obedience, faith, is where it's at. Nothing else can touch your obedient spirit. You see, I'm one that can tell you that I've seen the works of the enemy, and the works of the enemy is so smooth. He comes at us in so many different shapes and sizes and forms. Many times we look at him as Satan is coming to us in the form of a being with a pitchfork and a horn. But Satan comes at us as whatever we like, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman. He comes at us to try to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But God is saying that I'm calling my people into a relationship with me. God is calling us out of sin. God is trying to pull us out of sin. God is trying to yank us out of sin. God says that I am calling my people, and if they will humble themselves and pray, that I will be their God and they will be my people. But it's all about the love affair. It's all about giving yourself over to the love of God. I've learned that if you don't love your fellow man, then you don't have love at all. There are many times in this world that we ride past people on the streets, and they ask us for a dime, for a quarter, for a nickel, sometimes a dollar. And instead, we hold our money in our pocket. How can you hold on to something that God gave to you? The blessing is giving to somebody. The blessing is giving over what you have to somebody else so that they can see the blessings of God. Don't you know that your blessings are not for you? Your blessings are that so that somebody else can see the goodness of God. And they'll say, surely if God has blessed them with that, what can he do for me? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to experience his love? What must I do to experience his blessing? What must I do to submit myself over to this God? This is what he's expecting. This is what he's asking of his people. Not to hold on to it, not to have selfish ambition, not to look at your neighbor and turn your nose up because they may not have what you have. Blasphemy. God is calling us to heal his land, to heal his people, to heal these children, to fix our neighborhoods, to go into the places that we would never want to be and preach the gospel. I would go through hell with gasoline draws on if I could bring somebody into the fullness thereof. Why? Because I know that this life means nothing to me. Because if I give up my life, I know where my soul is going. You see, I'm in a love affair with my Lord and Savior. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me today, tomorrow, or next week. Because I have God on my side. And as long as I have God on my side, nothing else can touch me. No matter what they do to you, what they say about you, how they treat you, how they look at you, what they whisper about you. Nothing can be done to you because greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. I'm here to let you know right now that through this Jubilee affair, through this show right now, I expect that somebody is going to be saved. Somebody is going to hear a word right now that's going to remove the bonds of oppression upon them, and somebody right now is going to walk into Christ's love and step out of sin, that right now in the midst of their struggle, they are calling on God because they know that God is their covering. What am I saying? I'm expecting somebody to move out, to stretch their hands out to God right now. You see, it's not. I can preach you a feel-good message, but I'm here to let you know right now that I'm in the sin-removing business. I'm ready to bring somebody out of sin, and I want somebody to call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior and Redeemer. He didn't give up his life for us to sit back and not give him the praise that he so rightfully deserves. What are you going to do? My favorite line is, what say you, church? What do you do? Do you sit back and let the baggage of 2017 follow you into 2018? Or do you say this is a brand new year with brand new blessings, with brand new anointings? And matter of fact, every day that I wake up, it's brand new. I have a new day to celebrate. What do you do? Who will you be? This is a year of blessings, a year of breakthrough. Somebody has been dealing with some stuff for a very long time. Well, I'm here to let you know right now that your breakthrough is coming. Somebody has been hurt for a long time. I'm here to let you know right now, God is about to wipe your tears. Somebody has been going through issues with their bodies for a very long time, and I'm here to let you know right now, God says that he got you. There's somebody who has been suffering from a mental illness for a very long time, and God is saying right now, I'm about to wipe the tears from your eyes. There's somebody right now who don't know where their next meal is going to come from, and God is saying, enter into this love affair with me, and watch, I fill your cabinets right on up. There's somebody right now that's going through a hard time in their lives, and they don't know which way to turn. I tell you to look for God's detour. There's somebody right now who don't know if God is really real, and they're saying, Lord, I've been asking, and I've been seeking, and I've been knocking at the door, but I haven't got a response. God is saying he's about to show you tonight. There's somebody right now who's saying, Lord, I just need a blessing from you. Lord, I'm not asking for nothing big. I just want something to be able to hold on to, something to anchor into my life. God is saying it's coming to you in bigger ways than what you thought. I'm here to let you know right now that if you enter into a love affair with God, if you enter into a love affair with his son, Jesus Christ, that if you give your life over to him, you will see some miraculous things go forth this year. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, that I'm not saying that it's going to automatically just turn around to the good the minute you give your life over. Matter of fact, it may get just a little bit bad for you, because when you go against the grain of sin, Satan comes out and he tries to attack you more than ever just to push you right back into that sin and tell you that God does not exist. You see that when you gave your life over, you see that things got even worse. I'm here to let you know right now that if it gets bad for you, then you hold on to the boat, amen. You hold on, and matter of fact, you put on your life jacket, amen, because those waves are going to push you from to and fro. But if you just hold on, you will see at the end of the day a calm sea. Amen, that Jesus will come in and he will fix every situation, every problem, every circumstance, everything that's trying to come up against you, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. But all he's asking you to do is to enter into a relationship, a solid relationship, a private relationship with him, a relationship that nobody can touch. When you need somebody to talk to at night, Jesus says that I'm always there. His cell phone is always on. He always answers his text messages. You don't have to leave him a voicemail. He's the one that will never turn his back on you and say, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, or I just don't feel like it right now. Jesus says that all you got to do is talk to me and I'll listen, but please be ready for my response. I'm asking you right now to get yourself ready for the blessings, to get yourself ready for the breakthroughs, to get yourself ready for the supernatural X. There are going to be some supernatural things that's going to happen this year. Brother Hakim, you just watch how this network unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
You watch what God does. You watch what God opens up. You see, sometimes we think it's just by mere coincidence. It is the movement and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is sit back and watch it happen. You see, I have learned in this life that people, the ones that the Bible are telling us to love our neighbors, the Bible also says that sometimes we got to love our enemies. And our neighbors sometimes can be our enemies. Lord knows, I know I'm not the only one who done had some people in my life that have did me wrong, and I've trusted them, and I honored them, and I've respected them as friends, and then the next minute I turn around, they're spitting poison about me and spitting poison about my family, and Lord knows I've been called every name but a child of God, amen. But anyway, the blessing comes when you bless and not curse. I'm teaching somebody right now, amen, to bless and not curse. When your people come up against you and they do you wrong, you bless them and not curse them. When you find that those whom you respect say things and do things to make your respect go down for them, you bless them and you don't curse them. Let me tell you what that does. When you find that you bless people and not curse people, when I say not curse them, I mean not speak ill of them as they spoke ill of you. When you find yourself doing that, you find that you get blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. The blessings that you give out to people, you get those blessings back tenfold. It's true. Brother Hakim, I've lived it. I know it. I know it to be true. But all we have to do is do what the good book says. Bless and not curse. Love our enemies, those who spitefully misuse you. Do what God is asking us to do, because, you know, when you enter into that love affair, it's all about God anyway. God is asking that his true people stand up. God is not calling for a lukewarm church. God wants us to be red hot and on fire. God desires for his people who are called by his name to open up their doors, to love on somebody. And I haven't even touched on our children just yet, but let me do that while it's on my spirit. Let us stop calling our children thugs and menace to society because they walk around with their pants sagging. Tell them how to pull their pants up. Call them blessed. Tell them that they're going to be somebody. Tell them that they are somebody. Stop cursing our children. Stop telling them you are just like your daddy. You are just like your mama. You are not going to be nothing. Well, guess what? If we put that on them, then they won't be nothing. It's time for us to enter into this love affair, to love on our children, to love on our spouses, to love on our elderly, to love on our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers. It is now time that we enter into this love affair, and we do it the right way. We wonder why things happen to us, why things happen in this world. It's because we are taking our eyes off the prize. We are taking our eyes off of Jesus. We want to run to Jesus when things are bad. We know that we got a guy in office that don't really care, but we want to run to Jesus when we get things happening like that, when the nooses get around our neck. We want to run to Jesus, but when times are peace, we forget about him. It's time. If you're going to enter into a relationship with Jesus, that means that relationship is 24/7, 7 days a week. Not only when it's good, but when it's bad. Because when it's bad and when it's good, you'll find that Jesus is carrying you and you're not carrying yourself. But I'm here to let you know that it's time for us to enter into this relationship, to give our lives over, to study our Bibles, to learn what thus saith the Lord, to do right by everybody, and to live our lives according to his purpose, his perfect will for our lives. That, my friends, is the love affair. That, my friends, is what Jesus is all about. And that, my friends, is what God has been trying to tell us from day one. I bless you. I thank you. May God keep you always. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on the line, amen, that may want a prayer request or want some statements,
amen,
or call with a statement?
Amen, amen. We have a few people on the line. To those who
amen
are listening, if you would like to speak, if you had a request or something, please hit the number one. It will let me know to bring you on air. Caller 810, I saw that you hit the one at the beginning when you first signed on. Do me a favor. I don't know if it was an accident or if this is what you wanted to do, but hit the number one again to release it and hit it one more time if you want to get back on. I didn't want to bring you on air and you're not prepared. So if you could press the number one and then press it again if you want to come on air. That was a marvelous message.
Thank
very
you,
inspiring.
Sir. Thank you.
Very
amen
inspiring. Something that was well needed for this particular audience, this network, as well as everyone listening, the sound of your voice.
Amen.
I had a question.
Yes, sir.
Given what's been happening down in your area, Flint, how has it been as a pastor, seeing all this going on? I'm sure that your services have been greatly needed. What has that been like from your perspective?
Seeing the people in Flint, I have to give them a praise. They are a strong group of people. They work together. They worship together. I have never met a nice group of people in my life. The city of Flint, you know, Michigan, Detroit gets a bad rap. But I have to say that this has been the greatest experience of my life being in Flint. The people, you know, they rally together. And if one is down, we all are down. We lift each other up. Been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be there. And again, it's, you know, when you hear about it, it's very heartbreaking. Very heartbreaking. But, you know, when the Spirit of God comes into the place, there's joy and there's victory. And so, regardless to what goes on in the city of Flint, there is joy and there is victory.
Beautiful. We have someone who wants to chime in. We're going to bring them
amen
into the conversation.
Amen. Welcome to
hello
the Jubilee
caller
Affair.
Hi, this is Janet. Hi.
How you doing?
I have been listening, Pastor Townsend. I have been listening to the word. I'm so excited that you're on my network, and the message is so powerful. I knew that you would bring it, especially for your first show. I want to first go on record by saying congratulations that you're going to be able to bring the word to us, to the network, once a week or as long as you need to bring it. But my question to you was, I'm going to say this, and then I want to ask you to pray for the network. I know that you have reference to that, but, you know, this is the first show aside from my show on the network for the new year, and I want to start the new year off right. So anyway,
amen,
at any rate, I would like to ask you, what is it that now in these days and times that you see, that you find within the congregation or just in your dealings with people that we are now questioning our love affair on, like you said, our relationship with the Lord, with Jesus Christ? What is it that's going on now you know, this information, this newly found information that people, you know, my generation or younger, all of a sudden seem to think that they have Googled and researched stuff, it's always been around. This is nothing new, you know, about some of the things that people are trying to question about Christianity. So what is it about it now that is such a big deal that people are giving up on being Christians? They don't want to follow, you know, they want to pick and choose what part of the Bible they follow. What is it that, that you feel that is, that you see that's going on now that people are feeling this way now about Christianity?
Well, I think and being a young man who comes from that generation, it has become apparent that a lot of people believe that Christianity and the Bible is a white man's religion. I myself don't believe that. I believe that it's it boils down to God wanting to bring everybody into the fullness. And I think that with the rise of the Black Israelites and all of these different sects of quote-unquote Hebrews, I think the social media has also been a catalyst for that. And like you said, they take certain parts of the Bible and they twist it to fit what they're saying. And that's, you know, what they try to do and try to bring in. But you cannot read one part of the Bible without reading the other part of the Bible, because the Old Testament itself is a bridge. The New Testament is the guide across the bridge. You can't have one without the other. So as Christians, as you know, we honor the whole Bible. We do honor the Old Testament because it tells us of the history, and the New Testament tells of what we have, what we're dealing with now. I always call the Bible itself is 66 books. 65 books are struggle, and there's only one book of victory, and that's Revelation that speaks about our victory. And so I think that what goes on in the church today is that people, sin is still prevalent and will always be there. And I put it all on that. It's all sin. It's Satan trying to find new ways to attack our young people and to take them out of the church. And he's using different methods. He's using the same gears, but he's using different methods of gears. He's been on his throne for a long time, and thus he knows how to entangle. He just used new ways of entanglement.
Okay. I've had some conversations just in the last 6 months or so with folks that's just making an announcement or making a statement that they are no longer Christians, even though that was their belief and their brought up. And a lot of them being just, unhappy with the church itself. So my message is to those folks that's listening to the network, who's going to be listening to the network, if you're on the fence and you're in between in regards to your beliefs, you might want to tune into the word and get it on a personal level. And be able to make an informed decision on your own. Don't listen to social media, your homegirl, your homeboy, your aunt, your uncle. The basis of religion, the basis of Christianity is being able to have a personal relationship with Jesus, with the Savior yourself. So everything else outside of that is like any other relationship. You know, you marry, everybody else's relationship, friendships or whatever, has nothing to do with your relationship with your wife or your husband. So those that's listening online, as well as who want to call in or just listening, it would probably behoove you to enter into some type of personal relationship with the Savior and see for yourself what He has done for you this far. And don't forget.
Let me say this too. Going back to what you just said, if you heard in my message, I said that God is calling His authentic people. He's not, and a lot of people get hurt by church. It's called church hurt. That's one of my next messages that I'm going to bring. Church hurt. What do I mean by church hurt? I mean that if somebody's in the church, and they've been in the church 20, 30 years, and they were there when you were a baby, and you came back and they'll say something to you that will just hurt your feelings, and you wouldn't expect them to do it because this person was the only Bible that you might have read for a long time.
Yeah.
And they come and they say something to you that hurts your feelings. And you now get upset with the church because of what one person might have done. And you take it out on the church. And, and let me tell you, that again is still the work of the enemy.
It is.
The work of
it
the enemy is telling you that, oh, look at this person, supposed to be a Christian, and look at how they talk. Well, guess what? Christians say some crazy stuff sometimes. Sometimes they do some crazy stuff. I mean, but at the end of the day, thank God for repentance. But we'll find that some people sometimes will say some things, and maybe they don't mean to, they didn't mean to say it the way that they said it, and sometimes things will come out, and it may not be right, and it may not be true. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is where we have to be rooted and grounded and know that we know that we know who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us.
Right.
There's somebody
exactly.
That's
I don't know
in the
where we get – why are we so sensitive? Why it is that Christians are among, against each other in the church, and that's going to be – I can't wait for that show because you have a lot of people that have fell out of love with Christianity because of the church. You know, church
and let me tell you what.
You know, and want to sit back. We don't, Christians are the most judgmental people. You know, the pastor is driving this. The pastor's wife is doing this. But you're not, that's not the purpose. That's not the real, that has never been the real reason that you should be up in church. So anyway, I hope that, that we take our time and we explore all these different questions, all these different, and have a good conversation. I like for people to make an informed decision. You know,
amen.
I like for people to know. I hate for myself. One of my pet peeves is to try to make a decision, and I don't have all my facts. I haven't got
amen.
All the information I need because now I feel like an idiot, and I got to go back and redo something when I could have got it done right the first time. So
the first time.
Now, my initial question was: now all of a sudden, this new to this new generation, younger generation, this new supposedly this newfound information has came about in regards to Christianity and it being a white man's religion and all that, but that information has been there. That has been there. You haven't discovered nothing new. You just now, you know, Googling and having conversation with somebody else that just got the information. So my question, my initial question was, and maybe we could touch on this some other time, is what is going on now that this information is so such a big deal now? It's been around.
Nothing. I mean, nothing. It's been around. It's been around. But again, it's where people believe. Where it's being fueled by Satan, and people are think that they're coming into a new revelation. When, like you said, it's been around forever. And if there was something wrong with Christianity, don't you believe that God would have spoken to us by now? Of
that.
All the years, of all the hundreds and hundreds of years of Christianity, if there was something not right with Christianity, God would have spoken to us by now. I hear the voice of God. So there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. So all this new revelation and black people being the line of Judah and everything, you know, it may have been, it may not have been, but let me tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. And as long as Jesus Christ sits on the throne, I'm good with it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will not change. And that's where I rest, in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Cool. Well, we have another caller who wants to chime in.
All right. Cool. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hi. How are you? My name is David. I'm calling to say congratulations for Townsend's first podcast. And
thank you.
I think that I've known you for a long time. And, you know, at the beginning, I was one of the ones that putting such an emphasis on CCC's class. And you told me back then that that's irrelevant. And I finally got it, because when we think about Jesus being a temple or a pattern in which we fashion our lives, and because Jesus said that we are capable of better or bigger things than what he did, we could spend a lifetime focusing on the wrong things in terms of Jesus exists or he's black. But, you know, if we're black, there's an expectation of Jesus and God that we do something, not only for ourselves, but for humanity. Because when the bill goes down, what are we going to do about it? How is us being black going to improve our lives? So what we have to focus on is the principles, which are universal for all human beings to improve their life. That's where the focus needs to be. And I think that Pastor Dante is very dynamic, his message is clear, and it's simple. And if everyone who is influenced by Pastor Townsend's message, if they phone three other people, so that on this network, we will establish another network of Dante. Because I think that everyone will benefit by listening and considering what he has to say. So I bless you. Congratulations. And I wish to hear from you many more Sundays.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Brother David there has, I have known Brother David. He was like a father to me, and he helped me to become the man that I am today. And him and I have had many, many discussions on the word and as he said, on the ethnicity of Jesus. And, you know, I have been one to stand on that it is not about the color, because when we all get the glory, Jesus can appear any way that he wants. If we are a group of black people who dislike white people, what would we do if Jesus appeared to us, like in blonde hair, blue eyes? What will, if we're a group of white people who hate black people, what's going to happen when Jesus appeared to them, a dark-skinned man? Jesus tests the heart. He tests the heart. And he's calling his real people into this love affair. And truly, that's what it's about. When you love, nothing else matters. Amen. Thank you, Brother David.
That is awesome, man. Well, we're winding down to the closing point of the show. You wanted to give your closing message before we get what we call the show business, the chase music?
Amen. Amen. My presiding elder always says, well, I hate to let you go. But I want to definitely say, as my closing remarks, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the crucified one, may his works live on forever, and may the Lord be magnified. Thank you. I pray that this first episode of the Jubilee Affair has touched somebody, has enriched somebody. If you have been blessed by this episode, let it be known. Tell us so that we can know that we are on the right track. God bless you guys, and I will see you next Sunday. Signing out.
Some days you're weary. And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say. You can make it.
There's
only a test.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
Yes, you can.